This is New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society. This is the New World Report. And we are looking at the Latin American turmoil, but at the same time, there is an election in Peru that has now been resolved in some important fashion. The recognition of the newly elected president of Brazil. I read from the AP report. A teacher in one of the poorest communities in the Andes, who had never held office and now is now Peru's president-elect after officials in the South American country declared him the winner of a runoff. Leftist Pedro Castillo catapulted from unknown to president-elect with the support of the country's poor and rural citizens, many of whom identify with the struggles the teacher has faced. Castillo was officially declared winner after the country's electoral count became the longest in 40 years as his opponents fought the results. His opponent was who is the daughter of a previous president. So this gets very tangled with the politics of the regime and the previous regime, as we've seen with Brazil. So to sort this out, Joseph, let's now begin that there's no longer a doubt about who the next president is. It's now Castillo. What does he represent to not only to the people of Peru, but to the whole region? Is he a change in weather, or is he a type that we've seen before, a novice taking the palace?
Yeah, John, that's a good question, and I'm concerned. I have friends in Peru that are trying to convince me that they believe that Castillo is going to be more moderate than what his previous rhetoric suggested, or that his close alliances with certain individuals in the country suggest. But I think really where people's sentiments in Peru are is in their pocketbook and their wallets. There's an interesting statistic that I saw, John, that I think was very telling of where the Peruvians are seeing this. Just in the week or so, or in the last weeks, or where it was evident that Pedro Castillo was going to be the next president of Peru, there's been $14 billion in capital flight from the country, equivalent to 6% of the GDP. In fact, banks in Miami have been talking about how so much money from Peru is coming in because people are worried that their money's not going to be worthless if it stays in the country. The Peru's currency, the sol, it has depreciated by 9% in 6 days. So this gives you a good indication of where Peruvians really think about where the country's going to be headed, despite their maybe optimistic or wishful or hopeful that this doesn't turn into a Cuba or Venezuela. If you ask me, I'm very concerned because I don't think it's just about Pedro Castillo as the person. I think it's about the network that's behind Pedro Castillo, and we know what that network is. That's a network that's violent. It's a network that is looking to transform Peru in a revolutionary fashion, and they want to transform Peru towards a communist-type government, which is what they did in Venezuela, Bolivia, Cuba, and Nicaragua. Well, you know the story. So I think these changes are going to happen a lot quicker than what people think, because we're not in the years of 2000, early 2000s, when Hugo Chavez had many years to build his authoritarian rule. We're in a period where these economies just can't sustain. So when these changes come, they come fast.
The other candidate, Keiko Fujimori, the daughter of the ex-president, is that a spent force? The election was close. It wasn't in any fashion a landslide for Castillo. Does Fujimori retreat with the money now, or does that remain a vital source of opposition?
No, I mean, she's in trouble in the sense, not because of the politics, but because of persecution. I mean, they're going to try to lock her up. She was already locked up because they had trumped up charges of corruption against her. So I think if she doesn't get out of the country, I would fear for her safety. I mean, we saw this with the former president of Bolivia, Áñez, in Bolivia. We also seen this in Argentina, where they're trying to go after former Macri officials and the former government in Argentina. So I think she needs to be very smart. I mean, she needs to know that these people, like as I mentioned, I think the changes are going to come quick, and they're not looking for just, to even keel and let bygones be bygones. They're going to look for vengeance. And I think they look at Keiko Fujimori as an enemy.
The president-elect Pedro Castillo, and this is the Reuters report, says he wants to increase spending on healthcare and education by raising funds from mining tax hikes. His plans have resonated in a country with the highest per capita death toll from COVID-19. Pointing to the fact, Joseph, can we separate the damage that the pandemic has done to Peru from these politics? One of the salient issues of pandemic is that it creates disorder. It creates economic boom, but it creates disorder. So is Castillo a pandemic president, or was the populism that he is now representing, was that in place before the pandemic?
So the disorder was in place before the pandemic, because we have to remember in the last 4 years, Peru's had four presidents. So they had a lot of political turmoil. There's a lot of charges of corruption against government officials, including former presidents. So this is problems that plagued Peru even before the pandemic. Pedro Castillo is the consequence of a country that's been in problems for many, many years. Not so much economic problems, but more political problems and high levels of corruption. But according to what Pedro Castillo said, John, what you just read, he wants to boost education and healthcare, and he wants to use tax dollars for mining to do that. I mean, he needs to just look at the numbers. I mean, I just mentioned 6% of the GDP, $14 billion has left the country in a week. I mean, he's not going to have money to tax if he continues with that kind of rhetoric and policies. And he needs to build growth. He needs to build investment. The problem is, this is the problem of communism worldwide. I mean, they try to basically squeeze from what's already been squeezed and don't have any more left juice left to squeeze. So I think the problem he's going to face is that the money's going to be gone by the time he tries to tap into it.
These remarks from a Castillo supporter, this is a campaign-related remark. I understand that. But it connects to remarks we saw before the presidential election. Change is coming for Peruvians. Change of the Constitution is coming. No more poverty. Peru is rising. Now, allowing for exaggeration and enthusiasm, the part about the Constitution, that's a model we've seen before, Joseph. Chavez, it was the first time I came up against it, but now we see the pattern repeated. One man, one vote, one time. I believe Managua now qualifies. Certainly Cuba does. Is that what that remark about the Constitution means? I think Chile is also changing its Constitution. Does Castillo plan to change the Peruvian Constitution, perhaps to sustain his presidency or to give him extraordinary executive powers?
Yeah, John, that's the concern. I mean, we've seen it, as you mentioned, time and time again in Latin America, where they, under the auspices of basically reforming the Constitution, they dismantle their democracy. They remove all the checks and balances. They consolidate all the power into the executive, and they essentially abolish term limits and allow presidents to run forever. This is why Hugo Chavez was president for 14 years. It's why Evo Morales was president for 14 years. It's why Daniel Ortega, despite being in charge of Nicaragua for 14 years, he's running again. For I think it's a fourth consecutive term. So this is exactly what we're concerned about, because let's be frank, John, these figures, these folks that come from these networks of socialist populist leaders, they don't care about democracy. They care about power, and they care about transforming their country so that they can have more adherence to their external benefactors, which are, in today's day and age, Russia and China. So I think that's what we're worried about Peru, and I think that's why the money's leaving, because they know that these changes are coming, and people that have wealth are probably going to look in other places.
In our conversations prior to the election and while waiting for the count, we talked about Castillo as a novice, and that it's important to pay attention to the man who is the guru of Castillo and his victory. I do not recall his name, Joseph, but he was a Cuban and an educated Cuban political voice. Who is he?
Yeah, Vladimir Cerrón is the head of Peru Libre, which is the political party that Pedro Castillo campaigned on. So it's the party that propped him into power. Vladimir Cerrón is a Cuban-trained doctor, and we know all about these Cuban-trained doctors that are roaming around Latin America. And he's an ardent communist. He's known to be a high-level political operative that's very close to Evo Morales in Bolivia. And he was the one that everybody's worried about, because he's a known quantity. We know how he operates, and we know what networks and direction he wants to take the country. Now what people are saying is, they're saying that Pedro Castillo is going to distance himself from Vladimir Cerrón. That's yet to be determined. I think the first indication is going to be after Inauguration Day, which is July 28th in Peru. We're going to see who he names as his ministers. And I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for. They're looking to see who's going to be in the Peruvian cabinet. And if it's going to be flunkies of Vladimir Cerrón, people tied to his network, or he's going to look in other directions in Peru. But to be honest with you, John, I think there's other networks in Peru that are just as equally as dangerous as Vladimir Cerrone. So my optimism is not high. It's at a low point with Peru.
Does Castillo naturally fit in with Maduro in Caracas? Are they simpatico or Morales? Are these men going to have conversations that are sympathetic to each other? Or is there a contest for who's the biggest populist in the region?
No, John, they're 100% sympathetic with one another. They collaborate, they cooperate. They use both state and non-state networks to bind themselves to one another. But most importantly, all those actors in Latin America, whether it's Morales in Bolivia or Maduro in Venezuela or now Castillo in Peru, they're beholden to the bigger powers. And the bigger powers are Russia, China, and Iran. So all three of them are doing the biddings of Russia, China, and Iran. They're almost like proxy client states to some degree. At least that's the direction that they move in.
Is that understood, Joseph, in Washington, at least as a talking point, not as a conviction? Does the Biden administration evidence its understanding that we're watching? It's almost, I'll call it the reverse domino effect. Dominoes are standing up, not falling down.
Yeah, I mean, I think to some level that it's understood. You see it a little bit in the National Security Council, National Security Strategy, but not to the level that it should be. I believe that people, when they think of great power competition, they think of Asia, they think of the Middle East, they think of even to some level Africa. But they don't realize that Latin America is a hotbed for great power competition, that the foreign adversaries from across the world have realized that the best way to beat the United States is to diminish the geographic disadvantage that they've had over time. And they've done that.
Yes, very shrewd to look at the world map, Joseph, and recognize the weakness of the United States of America is the new world, the part of the new world that has not enjoyed the prosperity and the transparency of North America. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. We're going to turn to North America next, Mexico and the Mexican middle class, the critical Mexican middle class. How's it faring under the present administration, AMLO's administration, and in the pandemic? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.